welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this kind of balmy, slightly sticky Monday, June 9th.
It is slightly sticky.
The temperature is starting to rise in the studio, which means the impending July and August disgusting high heat months are upon us.
Which months can you actually work in the studio? So when it's not too cold or not too hot.
Cold's not a problem. Yeah. Cold is usually not a problem because there's a heat. At least we have a heater in here. But the summer months, just like July and August, it's too hot. And the space is just, it's too big to have like a comparable air conditioner. Otherwise, it would cost so much money in electricity because it's run off like commercial electricity rates, which is just crazy expensive. So I try not to book anything in July and August inside if possible. Right. And it's just, I mean, there's been days where I walk in here and it's 102 degrees.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'll just drop my mail off and I'll go home, you know?
Yeah.
I got a small air conditioner in here where we have these curtains that I can close.
Right.
And at least I can let it run and just try to cool this area off a little bit.
Yeah.
Although since I've switched sides, the curtains don't completely like seal or not seal, but just there's larger gaps now that I've sort of switched the layout of the studio and the way that the curtains are arranged. They don't close 100% completely, so it's like I let it run, but I know it's just traveling out the window.
Yeah, it doesn't help at all. Maybe you need to make a bubble.
It helps in here. I mean, if I turn it on and if I stick like that fan in front of the air conditioner, it'll blow it in my direction.
Yeah.
But I don't use a whole lot because I don't want to pay the money for just letting it leak out the windows. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Unless you figure out how to game the on-demand industrial electricity rates.
I don't know how the commercial peak usage things work or whatever, but
It's based on the they're assuming there's a continuous amount of electricity that's being used. It's kind of like lame budgeting. It's like, oh, we spent about $20,000 a month last time, so we'll assume that you're going to spend $20,000 this time.
Right,
so.
Yeah. The landlord's always said that, like, whenever it hits the highest, that's when it locks it in, and then it just goes right across the top there, and that's how it...
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Silly.
Yeah, so, well, it makes sense for a factory. A factory is, you know, you're producing a certain high demand of electricity, and it's metered that way. And they actually, the electric generators actually need to be spun up to provide that consistent level. They can't go up and down like it does with commercial residential stuff, which has all the buffering systems in place.
Right.
So, yeah, so it sort of sucks.
It does.
Make your own. Maybe if you bought your own generator. Maybe that would be cheaper. You can just get some little gas thing.
Nice, and loud, and, constant.
Stick it outside. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's, you know. It's always in July and August. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should try to see if there's any space in the basement that I can move to.
Yeah. Hey, maybe you could have your secondary down there. Maybe you can turn that pop-up camper into a portable photo studio. There you go.
Not a lot of room in there, but.
Yeah. How much room do you need? You'll be taking pictures of the great outdoors.
It's true.
Yep.
True. Speaking of the pop-up camper, we just got back from vacation. Sarah had vacation last week. So that pretty much means I have vacation. And we spent most of the week at Salisbury Beach State Campground. And it was nice because it was before like the season starts.
Nice.
And so like out of the two rows that were next to us, we were the only camper there the whole 4 days that we were there. So it was awesome. There was hardly anybody there. And we were right near the bathroom. So we get up, take a shower right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice. And we have a little pop-up camper my parents bought. And they haven't been using it. So we've been taking it out.
How many people does it sleep?
It's two, maybe three if you have a small person. So it's probably set up for
two people and a dog.
Yeah, we don't sleep like we. I think you're supposed to sleep lengthwise rather than like not lengthwise. So I think you can fit three comfortably if you sleep lengthwise. We have a tendency to sleep the opposite direction. So I have to add pads. Like I have to add seat cushions to the end so that my feet don't like just hang over the side. But it's good. It's roomy and. It's very nice. We liked it. And it's so cheap. Like, it's like $19 a day at the campground. So,
oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Just bring it in and you set it up and it's got electrical and water hookups. And
that's cool.
It was very nice. It was relaxing. And then we left the day early because the first 3 days were beautiful. And then the second day, it rained out the last day. So we just packed up early and we went to some antique stores. And then we came back and picked up the tent. And then we came home. And then we spent the last few days. We did a flea market on Sunday.
Mm.
So that was interesting. In the 30 plus years I've been going to flea markets, this is the first time we've ever actually set up and been a vendor. So that was
from the other side.
Exactly. It was like, and it was primarily we were selling a lot of things that we got at the flea markets over the last 15 years or stuff like that. But we did it for the sole purpose of we wanted to get a new iPad because the iPad 1 that I have is so terribly outdated, and the last operating system update, like it, I guess the iPad 1s had so little memory. The new OS just like every time you open anything, it just crashes it.
Yikes.
And so the iPad 1 at home has become known, his nickname is the son of a bitch, because every time you're in the middle of doing something, it just crashes. And so you'll hear Sarah down the hallway like, "You son of a bitch." So it's become the son of a bitch. So we figured, and we didn't have the money for a new iPad 4, but we had all this stuff, like just stuff that we've acquired since we've moved in together, and extra dishes and plates, and then games. And so we set up a table at the Hollis Flea Market, and we got up at 4:45 a.m., and we left the house around 5:20 a.m., and we got there a little before 6 a.m., and even as we pulled in and got out of the truck, there were early bird people that were like, the dude just came over and like is circling the trailer that we had that hadn't even been unloaded. And he's like, "What do you want for that lawnmower?" I'm like, "Well, just let me get situated first." Come on, dude. So it was kind of nice. So we were there until flea market seemed to break up. The core rush is usually 6:30 to about 8:30, there's a fair amount of people that come in.
Uh-huh.
And then like the core rush seems to be right around 10
yeah.
to about noontime. And that's when like everybody's getting up and they're going. And then once 12:30 rolls around, it starts to die out. So we were there till about 2:00.
That's also
and
good.
At 2:00, we were pretty much the last people that were in our side of the street.
Yeah.
So it went good, and it was like we had a lot of large, like it's weird, the stuff I thought might sell or stuff I thought should sell. Like I brought a bunch of anime and video game soundtracks, and I priced them like, you know, like $3 and $4 a piece just to get them out of here.
Right.
One, I think I sold three. Like somebody saw I had all three Evangelion soundtracks, and he was like, "He scooped those up."
He was happy.
I brought a lot of older video games. I said box of comics. I had some graphic novels. Brought a bunch of like Mario collectibles that I've had over the last 30 years and we dumped it. And a lot of the stuff we just priced to get out of there. And like we were just enjoying all the haggling. And if anybody even attempted to haggle with us, we would pretty much give them the price that they wanted to haggle at just to get it out of there.
You didn't even like just even pause a little bit just for the fun of it?
There was a few, like I had my first Nintendo DS little tiny thing and I wanted $30 for it. And he came over and he kept offering. He was just like, "How about 20? And I was like, "What, 25? And he was like, "How about 20? I'm like, "How about 23.50?
Uh-huh.
He's like, 20? And I'm like, fine. Because I didn't want to bring it home with me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But we had this giant entertainment stand, which I thought we were going to have to lug home. And that was like one of the first things that sold.
Yeah.
This guy came over and he was like, "I'm going to put all my video game consoles on there." And I'm like, "For saying that, you get $5 off."
Yeah.
Great. Like, so we had that. We had a table we got rid of. And we had all kinds of little tchotchke stuff that sold. But we accomplished our mission. We wanted to be able to raise enough money for an iPad 4.
Congratulations. And, cue the soundtrack. Yeah,
I know. I should have had the clapping soundtrack. We have enough for iPod 4, so now we can the son of a bitch can now retire to the studio, and I can use him for just portfolio purposes.
Oh, that's good.
And
we'll
have a new iPad at home that we can actually like browse social media and Facebook and Flipbook, and not have it crash constantly.
Yeah,
like, constantly.
Yeah. Huh.
And
can you buy a video adapter for the iPad 1 to run the slide projector?
Hooked it up for when we did the last Open Studios event. I have that little monitor that's hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
I have an adapter that plugs into the iPad and plugged into the monitor.
Oh, that's cool.
And then I just set the slideshow to repeat, and then I just tucked the iPad behind that that thing. So you didn't even see it. Worked out. And it works with like that projector I have. If I have to be connected. I can't do it wirelessly. But I could run the workshop, the intro, the refresher stuff that I do on PowerPoint.
Right, yeah.
I can do it on there. Although if I use my iTouch... There's so many stupid eye things that I haven't used in years.
Yep.
This can communicate wirelessly with the PowerBook that I have. And if I have the PowerBook hooked up to the slide projector, I can wirelessly control the slideshow from this.
Huh.
It's just so many stupid things.
Yeah.
But so it was good. It was interesting watching, you know, like the times as far as the amount of people that show up and who showed up and haggling people. A lot of kids. I'm surprised there's a lot of kids. There were a few people that showed up with their iPhones, and they would go through some of the stuff I had, and then you could see them, like, they'd walk over to the corner, and they would start looking up prices online.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they'd come back and then try to haggle you and everything. Those guys, I didn't haggle with them as much because I knew what's going on. Like, other kids, like, other guys, one kid came over, and he was just like, he said, "Do you have any Nintendo 64 games?" And I was like, "Yeah, right here." And, like, I've had them since I bought them, and my collection's usually really meticulous. So my Nintendo 64 games are complete, and the boxes are, like, mint.
Right.
Like, they have, they're square corners and everything.
Yeah, nice.
And he just got all excited about the boxes. He's like, "I've never seen used Nintendo 64 games in such perfect condition." And I'm like, "Oh, you really appreciate that." And he's like, "That's really awesome."
Yeah.
I'm like, "I'm going to knock the price off of you."
Yeah.
And that was sort of how we did everything, you know? It's like, and we tried to just keep it light and everything. There was a guy that... Sarah had this, like, wooden staff with a lion head on the top. I don't know where we got it from. And we're like, it's like, you know, $4. And the guy was, he kept, like, touching it, and he was holding it, and he was kind of, like, standing next to it like it was the staff and everything. And he's like, "What do you want for this lion thing?" And I'm like, he's like, $4? And I was like, "Make an offer." And he's like, "How about $2? And I'm like, "You just bought a lion-headed staff." And he's like, "Yes!" And so it was good.
We were like flea market Santa Claus.
Yeah, we were trying to, you know, I mean, we didn't want to take stuff home, but it's like, just be happy. There was a guy right next to us, had... not as much stuff that we had, and he had like a bunch of model race cars that were in boxes and everything like that. And I felt really bad for him because he was like, you could hear him bitching to people the whole time. He was like, "I'm not coming down that far." He's like, "Oh, blah, blah, go home and put it on eBay, blah, 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 blah."
Yeah.
And like the people right next to him is awesome. We're just like, "What, $2 and you can have that. Like, you want that, you back then bundle that and you can take it on it." And he's just like, "Rah."
Yeah.
So it was kind of funny. You know, it's just like, I couldn't imagine like trying to base like that is a job. Like, I've seen people there in recent years. There have been video game like dealers that are setting up things weekly, you know, and they have a banner and it's like Joe's Video Game Collection Arcade Sales Resales. Right, and I've watched those dudes, and they're horrible to deal with because it's just, they're going right by, you know, like I was watching the last couple of weeks. I've been looking at, for some reason, the Pokemon games for the Game Boys and stuff have shot up in price, and I don't know why, but like cart only Game Boy Advance Pokemon games, and they're like $45. And I've watched this, like, this one guy that sets up, and he's like, he's always got like a bag of Cheetos, like total, like, just stereotypical, you know.
Yeah.
And like these little kids are like, "You know, I've got like $35 and you want 40 and he's just like, "I won't take anything more than 40 and I watch this one guy, and he's with his father, and the father's trying to bundle a Dreamcast and a couple of Dreamcast games.
Yeah.
And the difference was only like $6, and this guy would not come down. He was just like, he was like eating, and then he would keep looking away from the guy while the guy was trying to talk to him and haggle, and he was just like, "I told you what the price is, and if you don't like it, then you can just move on."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What, dude? Like, lighten up. Like, come on, man. Like, $6 is not gonna..."
Yeah. I guess he takes his livelihood very seriously.
Some of them, yeah. And it's at that point, it's like, you know what? You should just pack up your cart, and you should go home and just sell full-time on eBay, and then you don't have to worry about it, and you don't have to worry about people watching you, like, drool food all over yourself.
Yeah.
And then we saw what was the highlight? The highlight of the day. There's been some internet memes that go around, and it's a cartoon of this stereotypical, it's like this really large overweight person that like has these like really thick mutton chop sideburns. And it's the meme is about like people that wear fedoras, like overweight people that wear fedoras all the time.
Yeah.
And the meme walked into our tent.
What?
It was the weirdest thing. Like, it was just like, I've seen this guy in drawings on the internet, and it's literally this guy. Like, I hope that the internet, I hope the meme didn't start, you know, like in New Hampshire because of this guy. I was like, "Oh my Lord." And there's like all kinds of, you know, like this one, like where he's at the movie theater, and like some guy comes in to like hold up the movie theater, and he's like, and everyone's like, "You know, what's going to happen?" And like, he stands up and he's like so huge, and he's like, "I've got this." And he like takes his fedora off and he like flicks it at the guy and knocks the gun out of the guy's hand. And then like all the women are like, "Oh," and they all swoon over him and everything.
What?
But it was just like, it was like, that's, oh my gosh, that's really, that's that guy. Like, that's what he, that's, wow.
Did he buy anything?
No, he didn't. He complained about my prices.
Oh.
And then he walked out. And I was like,
"Well, that's kind of cool."
And we only had one instance of something walked out. I had a PlayStation 1 PSX game that was there. And then we got a big swamp of people. And I was trying to keep my eye on stuff. And then I noticed later on that it was a PlayStation
game
that disappeared. And I was like, "Man, you got to be really desperate if you're like stealing from flea markets."
Yeah. Feel some kid.
It was crazy. It was,
That's what a thrill.
It was just weird. But a lot of them, we brought a bunch of movies. I didn't sell as many DVDs as I thought. And we, but we priced primarily, I mean, we came back with a lot less than we had.
So, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of fun.
And
I would do
money
it
in the pocket.
And money that it's going to be turned into an iPad that won't crash pretty soon.
Yep, yep. At least not in a couple of years.
Exactly. Yeah, until the next update.
Yeah. But then you have more stuff in the flea market to sell.
Exactly.
Right,
but we have
fine.
Plenty. And I kept thinking, I was like, man, if the stuff we have that's like the stuff that we didn't want, like if that's moving pretty fast, like what would happen if I actually brought like the good stuff? But then I'm like, you can't really bring good stuff to a flea market because people aren't going to pay the good stuff prices for it.
Yeah, yeah, unless you can argue with them. Maybe there's a whole nother level of haggling.
But then you turn into that guy that was right next to us, and he was just like, I'm not coming down.
Yeah, and you just got to carry stuff back and forth. You gotta keep, unless you had a van, you could keep everything in there.
Right, yeah, I think that's what some of these guys do. But for me, it's like, if you're going to go and do it, like, just have fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, and have a few, like, I'd rather have laughs with people and take, you know, like, lose a couple of bucks, but be able to, like, you know, like, they were happy. I was happy. I was happy that I made them happy. And that, like, you can usually tell if someone's, like, trying to take advantage of you and somebody that's just, like, really happy to have, you know, like, I really want this.
Yeah.
That's, like, you can tell. Uh-huh. So it's, like, the people that really want it, I'll come down a couple of bucks with you.
Right, yeah.
You know, but some of those dudes, like, the guys that were, like, standing there, like, scanning stuff with their little, you know, the barcodes and everything.
Yeah.
Give them more of a hard time.
He says, yeah, you have a good time with that price and enjoy paying for shipping.
Exactly.
Enjoy your weight.
Exactly. And then what eBay takes from you and what PayPal takes from you.
Yep. Yeah, you're going
to. Let's balance that all out.
Yeah. So, like.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good. So it was the first time. It was like a very celebratory moment, like where it's like, it has come full circle now.
Excellent. So it's like the closing of a chapter or perhaps the opening of a new one.
Exactly. And it worked out well because we were very prepared. Like, some dudes show up and, like, they don't even have a table. You know, they're just trying to lay. So,
you knew the drill.
We had these three large folding tables. We brought that awning that we had bought. Recently, we bought one of these big, like, Instafold awnings that we could use with the camper. So we brought that. Right. And that worked out perfect because they stuck us in a really nice shady area that was, there was tons of pine trees.
Oh, it was just dropping stuff on
it. It was dropping those pine worm things. Yeah. Like, crazy. Like, there was a few times where the table was just completely covered in these little worms. Whoa. Like, everything we had was covered in these little worms.
Yikes.
And luckily, most people were just like, oh, what are you going to do? There was a couple of people. There was one guy that came in, and he was just like, he's like, what are these things all over the table? I'm like, they're falling out of the trees. And he's like, I have to let you know. He's like, I'm an extreme germaphobe. I'm like, well, you probably don't want to look at my stuff right now because it's crawling with little wormy things.
They went, no. And, hey, there's one right on you, right?
Right. And they were not maggots. I read on Facebook this morning, someone was just like, those were maggots. It's like, it's not maggots that fall out of trees. Maggots, not in that amount. But you could hear them, like, every once in a while the wind would blow all the trees, and you would just hear it was like rain. Like, it sounded exactly like rain. There was so many of these little things. And so at one point we just pushed the tables in closer inside the thing, and that controlled the thing.
That's good.
But it was cool. For a while you could feel them, like, falling in your hair, and
yeah,
it was amazing. But we're used to that because we always have those picnics at Pineworm Park.
That only happened once, though. But it always makes me feel a little leery about eating there. I'm just always checking the food to see if anything's fallen into it.
Sarah had a bunch of, like, glasses, and every once in a while I would check, and we would just measure, like, how many how filled up. It was like Temple of Doom, like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom. It was just, like, worms everywhere. It was awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so that was my exciting Hollis flea market story. I have finally been a vendor.
Excellent.
All the years since I was a little kid going there and being like, oh, look at all these people.
Yeah, you're making me think about how I price my design work.
Really?
You know, because, you know, there's times where I don't want to come down on a price.
Yep.
But, you know, if they have a good attitude, you know, then, you know, like, and is life so short that, yeah, I might as well, like, maybe I can, like, stand to lose a few bucks here and there. As long as it's a good, you know, working relationship.
Right. Like, if somebody comes to me and they're like, you know, like, it's obvious they really like the work and they're not trying to take advantage of me.
Yeah.
It's like, just, I'll try to work with whatever budget they've got. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, like, but there are people that come to me and they're like, oh, your work is so good, but I don't have any money.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll pay off down the road. It's like, you know what? No, that's not going to.
No, it won't.
Right. Right. So it's like, you know, help them out. Make them happy. Yeah.
So if they ask you if it will pay off down the road, so you want to enter in a business agreement with me.
Right.
That's what they're asking. Yeah. So, no. Well, then you're not asking me for it. Then you're just asking for free stuff.
Exactly.
Your business plan has no way of succeeding.
Right. And it's just, you know. Yeah. But you can tell the people that want to work with you, and you can tell the people that are just trying to. And you know.
Although sometimes, you know, just giving people the benefit of the doubt, they just. you know, they're just reaching for something. They're trying to figure something out. They don't, may not mean it badly,
right?
You know, but it's like they don't see any other recourse,
right?
So I try to retain some empathy for them. But the moment it gets mean, and then it's like, all right, your head, I'm going to take it right now. Let's talk. But that usually puts me in a bad mood too. There's a cost to it, even though, like, I may derive some, you know, temporary pleasure from it.
Yeah.
You know, from cutting someone down to size that's trying to take advantage of me. Yeah. Anyway.
So that was kind of nice. And then when we got back, I dropped cameras off because I brought a couple of cameras with me on vacation and stuff. And Lomography, the people that gave me that Petzval lens that I've been playing around with.
Oh, yeah.
Which hopefully I can start working on a review for it soon.
A new lens? Or a different one?
No, it's the same one. That's that metal brass lens that they sent me.
Okay. I thought you already did a review on it.
Not yet. I've been sending them images, and I gave them my initial feedback. But I'm probably going to have to tone it down, but I have these grand plans of like actually shooting next to a tin type photographer using the same kind of setup
so that we can side by side.
Lens is trying to pretend to be this. So let's compare the images side by side and see what they actually look like.
Yeah.
So it's just trying to link people, like just line up that to actually happen, but I might get started on the other stuff. Anyways, they sent me, I told them that I was doing workshops and stuff. And so they sent me like this little goodie box full of stickers and stuff they hand out. So I thought that was pretty cool.
When's the next workshop coming up?
June, two weekends from now, June 21st.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And that one's got new students and alumni students, too. So it should be a nice group.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
And not so many registrations for the rest of them. So I'm trying to figure out if I should just knock a couple off towards the end of the year. I think next year if I do it again, which I probably will, I'm just going to do like one or two. At least that way, you know, I know that they'll fill rather than having a scattering of people in one and a scattering of people in another and then trying to figure out, do I try to merge them or...
You have a sense of what the market size is now based on the reach that you have.
Right.
So
and I think I've lost a lot of reach because I sort of just postponed the workshop for a couple of years. Like I just kind of...
Well, not necessarily. I don't think your reach has fallen because of that. Your reach may have... There's a certain size market locally of people who can come and take a workshop like this on a weekend.
Yep.
And part of your reach is based on your media presence,
yep.
which is like how much you're posting. And you haven't posted a lot of new work in the past year, I would say.
Right.
Like, not as much as like maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So like people aren't just seeing you as much. And plus there's just so much more stuff out there with BuzzFeed and things like that. That it's hard to stand out. So people just don't remember. This is like the one of the hardest things to do is just to get remembered because you're producing stuff that people care about and can follow regularly.
Right.
The moment that you're not, and I face this problem all the time because I'm not a very regular poster these days.
Yep.
But I've seen a lot of drop in my reach as well. But the other aspect is like you offer essentially the same workshop. It's refined. It's a little bit different every year, but it's the same title. It's the same website. Yep. So people have taken it already. You know, I'm sure one thing that you might think about is there a second workshop?
People have asked about a studio thing, and I thought maybe in the winter months I could try to do something inside.
Yeah,
just to give like a introduction to studio lighting and studio shooting and shooting on backdrops and stuff like that.
I wonder if one of the attractions of the workshop is like people get to work with the model, you know, and that's like something, you know, maybe if you provided the toy shoot or something or something interesting to shoot, I wonder if people would pay for that. But that's then you're in a different kind of, you know, business. It's time consuming. It may not be something you want to do.
And then I was thinking maybe I could do just sort of a general like It's just a day long thing, and people just come in with questions about how do you like this, and how does this work, and how do you shoot something like this. And, but that's a little more open ended, and I don't know how many people would.
Yeah,
do that. But I think if I do maybe like an intro to studio, stuff for the winter months when it's cold and nobody has anything to do.
Right.
So just come on in, and we'll futz around a little bit, and we'll do the same kind of.
When I get the living room cafe going, I'm thinking of trying to run a few like technical workshops and just see. But I think what I need to do for that is actually provide, you know, one or two very focused topics that people will come in to see. Because people, you know, to get them out of their house and show up someplace, they want to know they can get something from it.
Right.
And so open-ended type stuff, that can kind of work for user groups.
Yeah.
At least the user groups I used to run, we were based around news in a particular industry. Like, okay. Like, for example, like, we're all animators. We're all animating stuff on the web.
Yeah.
And we want to talk and show and share what we found about that. So that would work every, you know, couple of, I'd say, like, every 6 weeks we could do one of those. And yeah. enough time would pass that people would say, okay, something new must have happened by now.
Yeah.
But a lot of other user groups, they organize around the idea that there's, okay, we're bringing a speaker in to talk about a particular topic. Okay. The Nashua Adobe Users Group, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
They do that, and they have all these events. I keep missing their events because their mail keeps getting put into my some other folder that I never look at. I should fix it. So at least that thing shows up so I know when they are. They have monthly meetings. There's some big one coming up with some Adobe evangelists coming.
Oh.
For this, it looked like it might be interesting, you know. But that's a draw too,
right?
And then, you know, a third draw is you like hanging out with those people. So like for example, the Manchester Makers in Manchester group. Uh-huh. I checked them out, I guess a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
that's a good group of people, and it's just interesting just to go up there. They all don't know each other, but they're all bound by this desire to make things themselves.
Yeah,
so that vibe carries on. Yeah, you know, so for you, you have like the charming personality in person, you have the good work, and you have the expertise, and you can figure out, you know, maybe just some small chunk of something to build on. It doesn't have to be this giant thing that's going to make you be frustrating or require too much time. This is what I try to do for myself.
Yeah.
So for my living room cafe thing, I wanted to say, well, here's an introduction to, let's make your first WordPress website and okay. just see what kind yeah, of questions yeah. happen or. So remember I wanted to do that tiny school thing.
Yes.
And so the idea was you'd show up and there would only be 10 minutes of lesson. And then after that, you'd be applying that lesson.
Yeah.
We tried to use that format.
Huh.
And you know, they might not all hit, but it's like an hour max okay. out of my day.
Yeah.
and it may bring some, well, one thing it will do is it will expose my expertise to people in the area and
yes.
people who have, you know, maybe specific, you know, kinds of work that like I would want to do.
Yep.
Because oftentimes the way that I tend to sell is people ask me a question and I give them an answer and it's more comprehensive than they imagined it might be.
Yep.
That turns some people off, but I don't want to work with them.
Right.
But the people say, wow, you really know some stuff here. Maybe we can work together. So, all right, let's deal.
I wonder if you could turn those 10-minute tiny school things into a video series.
Yeah, I've been thinking about doing video podcasting, just to see what it's like.
Yeah, that'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah, we should work on that.
We should. And once you get that cafe up, like you wanted to have it so that the space could be used for different things.
Yeah.
So you could just make sure like one wall section is sort of set up so that you could do these little 10-minute.
Yeah, exactly. It's part of the set.
Oh.
All deductible business expense. Yeah, I need to. I forgot to mention that we went to Bingham Lumber to check out the reclaimed lumberyard stuff.
Yep.
Really awesome. Really awesome. I've never seen such a pristine lumberyard.
It was
before.
It was really kind of like when you go into Lowe's and Home Depot and stuff, like you go into the lumber section and everything is just like, ugh. It's just,
yeah.
And this was really like anally like
yes.
clean and everything was arranged perfect.
Like each plank
lined up. Yeah.
It was each plank was like lined up and numbered. It was like they were individually boxed.
Almost. Yes.
And then the reclaimed stuff is beautiful, you know, but it's pretty pricey though. Too.
Was it?
Yeah. Those tabletops. There was a table that was like $900.
What? Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was for the whole table or just for the top.
Now, what's the difference? I wonder if the prices for regular tabletops would be cheaper. And if so, why? Like, why is it so much more for something that's already been used?
Because they had to. Well, I think it's the character of the wood you're paying for that you just wouldn't get with new wood.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's the time we've got.
Wow, that was quick. Awesome. All right. Well, I guess until next week. Where we can continue about this. And is RibFest this week or next week?
That's this week, yes.
This
Friday.
Weekend. All right, so maybe we can hear about RibFest from you.
Yep, I got a tasting ticket.
So, yeah, so RibFest in Merrimack is coming up. But until then, this is Photographer Sid Caesar.
And Designer Dave Say.
Have a nice week. Eat food. Michael provided. Music provided by Michael Billar and the Azaz Ensemble. Visit him at MichaelBillar.com. Go through your closets, put some stuff together, and take it all down to the flea market. Sell it. Buy an iPad. Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye. Right.